This is Space Kate in Toronto for the International Astronautical Congress, and there are so many interesting people here, and one of them that I've just met is Helia Sharif from Carleton University, who has done just the coolest piece of work for her master's thesis. Tell us about it. You're making robots think?
Hi, Kate. So basically for my master's thesis research, because my team had a contract with Canadian Space Agency to work on the next generation of rover, I was assigned to a portion of that rover. So what I was doing was I was studying how a geologist would look at a sample of rock and analyze it to learn about the mineral assemblage and rock formation of the rock or the sample. And then I was trying to train the rover, this robot, to think like a geologist so that it can also analyze the samples of rock the same way. It's a project that is ongoing, and it's really exciting.
So when we talk about a robot thinking like a geologist, is that just a case of programming it to say, you know, if I analyze this and it comes up with this result, it's granite, and if it comes up with this, it's something else? Or can it start to learn as it analyzes a few rocks? Can it teach itself a bit more about the rocks?
That's a good question. So that's something that we're looking at doing. So we are trying to make a smart robot. We want to make it fully autonomous so that the robot, over time, it will learn from its mistakes over time and make better decisions just like a human would as it goes along. And to do that, we have been looking at genetic algorithms. So that's the next phase of our rover's training process. So the initial phase was we wanted to first figure out if the robot can analyze rocks just by looking at them using the cameras on board. And the reason why we did that was because you have limited payload available on the shuttle when you or whatever spacecraft it is that we're sending the rover up to space with. So I wanted to use and utilize and optimize whatever is the equipment that's already on board the rover. And now that we can prove that the robot is capable of analyzing rocks by itself, based on what it has seen, and it's able to compare it with whatever it has in its memory, its catalog, now we're taking it to the next level. We're applying genetic algorithm, so it's inspired by the human DNA, and it will be able to evolve by itself, learn from its mistakes, and go forward from that.
So you're telling me that the rover should just be able to look at a rock and tell whether it's an interesting one to analyze further?
Exactly, yeah. So I applied image processing techniques to extract rock textural information from images of rock samples. And then I applied probabilistic theorem so that it says what is the probability that the data that I'm seeing, the results from the sample, are similar with, or a close match to one of the ones that it has seen, one of the rocks that it has seen before and it's in its catalog.
So how do you cope then? If you have to teach it, you know, if you show it a lot of rocks so it knows what certain types of rocks will look like, how would you do that for rocks that they might find on the moon or on Mars that we may not know what they look like?
That's a great question. We haven't reached that point yet. Right now we're assuming that we have an understanding of what kind of minerals are on Mars or Moon, and we can train the system to adapt to that environment and learn from what is around it and understand what are the possibilities that it could be surrounded with, what kind of rocks it should be expecting around it. But at some point, we might hit an area that the rover might say, none of the samples I'm looking at are a close match to what I have seen before. And that's when we have to create a new catalog and a new rock sample in its data entry so that it can learn about the new samples of minerals that might be on another planet.
So I suppose if it sees something that it hasn't seen before, then that probably is something you might want to analyze. So would the rover then be able to start doing some, you know, using its instruments to look into that and learn from it?
Exactly, yes. That is the ideal task. Right now, the main reason why we're doing it is not to necessarily find a rock that it has never seen before. It's because There's, because of the long distance between the planets, there's a lot of complications when it comes to communication. There's 40-minute communication delay for a message to travel from Earth to Mars and vice versa. Then you have the limited uplink opportunities. You only get maybe a few minutes a day to communicate from mission control to the Mars rovers. So these are all kind of adding on top of each other and put a lot of strain on the exploration mission and delay the mission significantly. So a lot of times the rover is just idling around on Mars waiting for the mission control to tell it, okay, go now 100 meters forward and then maybe pick up that rock. I think it might be safe now. So you lose a lot of time. And we wanted to make it fully autonomous for now, and we wanted to train the rovers so that it can be able to do early stages of analysis of the rocks by itself. And if it thinks it's interesting enough based on the categories that we have trained it to look for, then it would further analyze it, use other tools that it has on board. You don't want to just pull out all of the tools for every rock. Otherwise, you use up all of the power that you have on the rover, you lose all your time, and it's just a waste of mission. For these multi-billion dollar contracts, you want to really optimize every little ounce of energy, power on board, and every minute that you have on Mars. So that's why we're going this way and we're doing what we're doing.
So my only concern is that these sound like super smart rovers. Are we still going to need people to go?
Definitely. Yeah, I would hope so. I think that right now the environment is too hazardous for humans to go to other planets. And this is something that for the preliminary testing, we want to have someone or something that can do the early stages of testing for us to scout the environment and tell us if it's safe, if it's interesting enough and worth the trip. But at some point, we have to send a human. There's nothing at this point that can replace what a human's expertise and experience can be utilized there. So I can definitely see that a human and rover working together, but I cannot see a rover completely taking over the human's task anytime soon.
That's good. There's still hope for me to go to space then. And how advanced are you with these robots? Are there any plans to send them off to other bodies in the solar system to test them?
Oh, I wish I could say, you know, in a year from now, we're ready to go. But with space qualification process, it takes ages. To be honest, I don't see it going up this technology for another 5 to 10 years. It's really unfortunate, but it takes a lot of rigorous testing because you're investing a lot of money on these projects. You want to make sure that it performs beautifully and flawlessly. So we still have a long way to go, but we're on the right path and we're making groundbreaking improvements and along the way.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.